Psalm 34.
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt in his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces will never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Bless this, the reading and the hearing of his word. This is an interesting psalm, and in case you didn't know, it gets kind of intriguing because you have your sermon scripture references in front of you, and it's like 3.5 pages, and trust me, that's about half of what I originally wrote down while I was researching this, because we're going to talk about the reading this morning, which in itself is a great sermon because of exactly what David is talking about in this prayer. But we're also going to talk about blessings. And one of the reasons I love having the kids hear about this first, because Lily put it beautifully. Why did you do that? Because you told me to. Out of the mouths of babes. And we talk about blessings all the time. I do it in the prayers I do. We talk about blessings. But at times I'm not sure we are concerning or we know what blessings are, nor do we pass blessings on to other people. Now you'll hear this again in the course of the sermon. And Psalm 34 is a psalm of general thanksgiving. And the technical stuff, it says, it gives instruction in the theology of both praises and psalmic prayer, the cry for help and the thankful praise for help. Now, we're going to break down these verses as we do every week, but I've got a secondary point I want to make. Now, the psalm begins with a call for praise from David, and for those that hear the prayers and praises, and who are also named lowly, the people who live and trust and depend on the Lord. We hear this in verse 1 through 3. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name forever. Now, I'm not sure all your Bibles have this, but there's a heading in mine that explains what the psalm is about or different sections of the Bible. And this one is a psalm of David when he feigned madness before Abimelech and drove him away, and he departed. So David is thanking the Lord that everything turned out right for him. But if you look at what David is celebrating, it is the results of the prayer made at a time of trial, in a time of distress for him. He thanks the Lord for delivering him out of what could have been a very deadly situation for him. But it also calls for all the people that hear this psalm. It proclaims God's greatness. And it rejoices that we have a God who hears and delivers us. That's why he says in verse 4, I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. And if we ended here, that is an absolutely wonderful way to live our lives. We thank God for all he does. We give praise. Because when we have faith in God, He delivers us. And verse 4 is a report of deliverance. But the implication of the deliverance that he receives comes about in verses 4 through 10. We have exhortations, we have statements, we actually have a beatitude. And David brings us to the realization that it's not enough simply to be one of the needy who cry out to the Lord. We have the needy around us all the time. We have people that they may not go to church, they may not believe, they may not be Christians, but when things get bad, the number of people that call on the Lord to protect them is absolutely amazing. But he also is talking to the God-fearers, those who have already made the Lord the basis of their faith. They call on God to guide them in the conduct of their lives. And it's a life around which that, as he says in verse 7, the angels of the Lord are set up in a protective camp around those who have faith and who love him. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. God provides for us in our prayers. You're going to hear that one over and over again too. In the Lord, we are never alone, no matter what is happening in our lives or what is happening around us. The Lord will ensure the best for us, even to the point of sending his angels to protect us. Now, there are two dimensions of the psalm. You have the cry for help, and you have a thankful praise when help's received. And both of these are essential to our faith. We have this faith because God is holy, God is loving, and God has promised to take care of those who will follow him. He hears our prayers when we call on him. Now, of course, it's true if we avoid evil and we love good, it's going to make for a holy life. In the same way that the righteous call on God and they will be delivered from their troubles. Merit and need, reward and salvation are structures of the relationship between God and human beings. Faith lives in terms of both the merit and need as well as salvation and reward. Those are the structures of the relationship between us and God. We don't merit what God does for us. We don't merit the forgiveness we have received through the forgiveness of our sin by Christ on the cross. The rewards of eternal life, we don't merit. We get them because God loves us. And in return, we promise to live our lives the best way that we can. But it's sometimes we live the best we can, and God will sort everything else on because we can't do it by ourselves. We need to rely on God to take care of us. Now, the line that has drawn a lot of attention through the years is that exhortation in verse 8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And taste here literally is translated to be find out by experience. In our psalm this morning, this means we should try out the pursuit of peace, the practice of prayer, as the ways to open our living to the Lord's gift of life. But David doesn't confine his prayer to God at special times. If our faith and prayers are continually, the response from God will be continual. David doesn't boast in wealth and power and wisdom, but in the Lord. That's where his faith is. That's where everything is going to come from. That's why he's praying to the Lord, because he knows the Lord is going to deliver him. He calls the afflicted those reading in the congregation his words here to be glad and to join him in proclaiming God's greatness. He gives his personal testimony of what the Lord has done for him. And it's this personal experience that's behind the invitation to others to praise God along with him. When he sought the Lord delivered him from his fears. And because of this example, all other poor people, and I'm not talking about wealth, money, or anything else, those of us who need God's salvation, who are maybe poor in faith, we need God. Those people should look up to God with such confidence that their faces should lighten up with the joyous expectation of what is to come, especially since those angels have been sent by the Lord to protect us. For those who don't realize it, they are invited to learn by the experience. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Now, this is a thumbnail sketch of every thing that we have heard about from Psalm at this point. And as I said, I started this out on one level, as I usually do, breaking down each one of the verses and give the supporting verses. And that took a little bit of time, and then I found myself asking the question that comes up in verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. What in the world does it mean to bless? Then it goes into what is a blessing? Who is blessed? Why are we blessed? Our calls for blessing are something we talk about all the time. It's a phrase that we use commonly. Somebody sneezes, God bless you. It's automatic. I'm not going to go there. The benediction, may God bless you and keep you. It's another example. I believe everybody here has probably heard it. And we ask for God's blessing. We ask that he keep us in peace. In modern day terms, and this can get really funny, well, bless your heart. That could be kind of a backhanded compliment. Bless your heart. Thank you for what you've done to me. You're a wonderful person. Or, bless your heart. You have no idea what you're talking about, and you're dumber than a bag of rocks. It's the praise and it's the not so praise that we sometimes run into when we're talking about God. And I did make a note here, that's especially true in the South because that's where I got hit with it a lot. But we need to take look at the definition of blessed and blessing to understand them. And, it's been a good week for this. Now, if you were here for Sunday school, Todd so rightly pointed out, I don't go into definitions a lot and go back to the root words, because all those things that you see on your scripture notes, those all came from this particular portion, and they're 3.5 pages. Doesn't cover half of what I looked up. Doesn't go into the New Testament except for two things, because quite frankly, it took me a day and a half, and I was running out of time. The Hebrew word for the word bless is B-R-K, and I have no idea how to pronounce it. But it also, as it comes in so often, B-R-K is the root word for a lot of different unrelated meanings. It is the verbal and nominal form for the word bless. So we've got that one going in our favor. It's the verbal and nominal form of kneel. Okay, I can pull that into what we're doing here. B-R-K is also a noun that means pool, pond, or basin. And I'll let y'all figure that one out. Within the semantic range, bless, B-R-K, can mean to bestow goodness, favor or greet, congratulate, thank, make peace, worship, or praise. This is the technical one I love. The qual passive participle, I didn't fail, I just didn't enjoy English classes, baruch, means blessed and occurs most often in the formula for blessed be, used all through the Old Testament. In 7 occurrences, however, Barak, which is also the root of the word, from the root word BRK, is used to curse, as in Psalm 10:3. For the wicked boasts in the heart's desired, and the greedy man curses and spurns the Lord. And because such curses are usually against God, when we use the form of Barak, a lot of scholars use them as a scribal tool. They insert it there to correct or to make a revision to a text. But for us, BRK is most oftenly a relationship marker. It signifies the existence of some sacred, legal, or social relationship with God. God, angels, and humanity may bless. That's why I had the ladies go around and bless people. Humans bless. God, humanity, animals, and inanimate objects can be blessed. But precisely what is conveyed by the act of blessing differs depending upon the one doing the blessing and the one receiving the blessing. However, and I love this one, blessing is a performative speech act that brings good upon somebody, bless you, in contrast with cursing, which is performed to bring evil to someone or something. And as we go through the Bible, we see the endless ways that blessing has become part of our religion, or is a part of our religion. To bless is to give peace and love, and should be at the core of our beings. For aren't we called to love? You can't give love without also bringing peace into someone's life. Virtually impossible to give true love to somebody and not bring peace to them. And there should be questioning looks on faces there going, but we'll talk about that at another time. Come the 9th. Blessings start from the top and work their way down to the lowliest of the earth. Now think of that minute. Every blessing that is good starts from God. And it goes all the way down to the earthworms. God repeatedly blessed individuals. Job 42:12 is a great example of that. And Job went through all kinds of chaos. The Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. And he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. And he had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He also had a lot taken away from him, but after the trials and travails, the Lord returned what had been taken away from him. God blesses groups of people. Exodus 32:29. And then Moses said, "Dedicate yourselves to the Lord, for every man has been against his son and against his brother, in order that he, God, may bestow a blessing on you today." Calling on the blessing of the Lord from the people because they hadn't been getting along. They needed to acknowledge the Lord, and the Lord will bless them. We pray for a lot of things in our nation and our world. God hears and provides the blessings. Jeremiah 4:2, "And you will swear, as the Lord lives in truth, in justice, and in righteousness, then the nations will bless themselves in him, and in him they will glory." Truth, justice, and righteousness. Following those things, nations will thrive and prosper. Another great sermon point concerning the fact, where is our nation today? Now, he also blessed Israel in particular. Imagine that. Deuteronomy 26:15, "Look down from your holy habitation from heaven and bless your people Israel in the ground which you have given us, a land flowing with milk and honey, as you swore to our fathers." Now, each one of these blessings here are in accordance with the divine human divine-human relationship. It's a covenantal relationship with the nation of Israel. I will be your God, you will be my leader. I'm sorry, you will be my people. That was the agreement, one of the very many covenantal agreements God made with man, and man managed to mess it up. But God kept his word. It's a promise that God will love his people again, and he will take care of them. It's emphasized during the Deuteronomistic history and through the prophets, through the conveying of blessings for covenantal obedience. Fancy way of saying, go through Deuteronomy and you can see a whole lot of this. But also that agreement, especially in Deuteronomy 27 and 28, God curses the people when they do not obey him, when they break the covenant that he has with them. The blessings that he has given him are taken away. And the Lord will do that when we sin, when we do not follow his way, and when we refuse to change our lives and our actions. The blessings of God are diverse and include vitality, health, longevity, fertility, land, prosperity, honor, victory, and power. God also blesses creatures, Genesis 1:22. God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, fill the water in the seas, and let birds multiply on earth. And Deuteronomy 28:4, blessed shall be the offspring of your body and the produce of your ground and the offspring of your beasts, the increase of your herds and the young of your flock. God's blessings bring a lot of fertility in everything that you own. It holds true for inanimate objects such as land. We saw that in 26:15, blessing the land that God had given, the land of milk and honey. He blesses our houses, our dwellings. Proverbs 3:33, the curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the dwelling of the righteousness. If your house follows the Lord, you will be protected. Think of about in Egypt. The blood on the lintel. The firstborn were saved because of their faith and their belief in God. He blesses our crops. Okay, I don't have a green thumb. He will love you and bless you and multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your womb, the fruit of your ground, your grain and your new wine and oil, the increase of your herd and the young of your flock in the land he swore to your forefathers to give to you. He blesses bread and water. And by bread and water, it's those things we need to literally exist. Exodus 23:25. But you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will remove sickness from your midst. You see, not only will he give you enough to eat, he will give you enough to drink, he will satisfy your basic needs, but I will remove sickness from your midst. There are sometimes I think what's going on in our world is today is because we got a lot of people that have just turned their backs on him. Those who stay with him will make everything that we're going through today work out just fine one way or another. Of course, it takes belief, it takes prayer. God delivers. And in an age where you can get more from the government not to work than you work, God blesses the work of your hand. Deuteronomy 28:8, the Lord will command the blessing upon you in your barns and in all that you put your hand to, work, what you physically do. And he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. We have more people get off their stupid butts and get out there and work because you can't tell me the jobs aren't out there, but
I'm afraid.
No, you're not. You're lazy. It's easier to let somebody else provide for you than get up and do it yourself. And we've got entire generations that have been raised just that way. We see what's going on today. One of the better known blessings comes in Genesis 2:3. And that's when God established the Sabbath. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God created and made. This day is blessed and sanctified. Now, unfortunately, and here again, we have a problem. It should come as no surprise that humans may bless. But in the early 20th century, scholarship suggested that blessings in the ancient world held a power of independence from God. The most recent scholarship, however, got their head on straight and realized every blessing we get out there comes from God, not from our own work. In Numbers 6:22 to 27, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and to his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the sons of Israel. You shall say to them, should sound familiar to everybody, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. My Lutheran's day, that was an every Sunday reading. Bless you and keep you from God's own lips. The blessings human may give assume no power on their own. Any blessing I give to you, anything I say to you, means nothing without the power of God behind it. I mean, I can wish you a nice day, I can bless you when you sneeze, but that doesn't invoke anything on God if I don't believe in God. The blessings can come from a mundane greeting. Genesis 47:7. Then Joseph brought his father Jacob and presented him to the Pharaoh, and Jacob blessed the Pharaoh. Now think of that for a minute. But that's exactly what you were supposed to do in the Jewish religion. You are introduced to somebody, you give them a blessing. We'll cover that in a couple minutes. Blessings are used in parting. Genesis 24:60, and they blessed Rebekah and said to her, may you, our sister, become thousands of 10,000s, and may your descendants possess the gates of those who hate them. Go forth and multiply. Be true to God. Blessings are used in the friendship. 2 Samuel 2:31, David transgressed against the Gibeonites. And he actually said to them, thus said David to the Gibeonites, what can I do to make atonement that you may bless the inheritance of the Lord? Because David, being David at times, caused a split. And he dishonored people that he shouldn't have. But he asked for, how can I return the blessings of God to you? What can I do? Heard a lot about Nehemiah lately. They just had this thing building the wall. I heard it on one of the radio stations. But we must bless people that we are grateful to, that we are in gratitude. When Jerusalem was being set up again, basically they had all the priests and everything else sitting inside of Jerusalem, but everybody else was in the other cities. And they asked for volunteers to help come build Jerusalem back, and the blessing to the men that came to do that, and the blessings of all the men who volunteered to live in Jerusalem, because Jerusalem was pretty much a shambles at that time. But again, we have blessings that come from the divine human relationship. Almost done. Hang in there. Humans sometimes bless things. It's another aspect of the invocation of God's favor upon humanity, which arises upon the use of the blessed objects. Now, in the Old Testament, it was the blessing of the temple, of the tools in the temple, a blessing of the sacrifices. It was a blessing of your house, as we mentioned earlier, and everything else that went on. Finally, humans and angels may bless God, as we saw at the beginning of our reading in verse 1. That call to bless God for what he has done. I will bless God at all times. Now, scholars did disagree concerning the significance of this type of blessing. Can it signify the bestowal of favor or goodness upon God? No. However, scholars have come to agree that most likely the BRK there, the blessing, denotes the acts of worship, praise, or thanksgiving, corporately or individually, when you do it in God's name. We have the English word bless can be used to translate the Hebrew word, again, A-R-E or O-S-E-R in Genesis 30:13. I'm not reading Genesis 30:13. It's not in your notes. You can go back and look at it later on. But it also can be used as the word happy. And that word is frequently found in the blessing formula in Psalms and Proverbs. Blessed are those, and some of your translations will also read, happy are those who, and then you put in the blessings. The New Testament equivalent is the Greek Makarios, and it's found in the Beatitudes. Blessed is he who, and I have seen happy is he there. In the New Testament, and you don't have these in there, I'm sorry, as I said, I was getting writer's cramp. Typer's cramp. In the New Testament, the blessing of Jesus takes on considerable importance. Jesus blesses the Greek eulogio, the elements of the Lord's Supper, Matthew 26-28, and according to Paul, calls the communion wine the cup of blessings in 1 Corinthians 10:16. Jesus also blesses the loaves of the feeding miracles in Matthew 14:19. As well as the disciples themselves in Luke 24, 50 and 51. The blessings on those who curse and revile the followers of the Lord is another significant theme, Luke 6, 28. In Paul's writing, blessed takes on the additional meaning that in God is called blessed in the sense of being holy. If you are holy, you are blessed. If you are holy, you're following God, and yes, you are most definitely. So as you can tell, when we pray or we ask for a blessing, it means much more than simply wishing somebody to have a good day or asking that something that we own be used properly. Blessings for God, our friends, family, community, nation are special and should never becomes something we say out of habit in prayer because it sounds good or it follows a form. The request for blessing should be from the heart. It should be honest. It should be true. And it should come from God. Our blessings to one another should be for all people and all things, following God's rules. We bless because blessings from the Lord are holy, they're pure, and they're righteous. Now, as I said earlier, the reason I asked the girls to spread blessings around this morning was to show how often we really do not use that form and terminology. We can wish someone well, but do we wish them well in God? But we should. So what I meant when I said you should say that to everybody you meet. You're going to get some strange looks, or people that know what you're talking about are going to acknowledge that. Back at Emmanuel, I had a fellow seminarian, but he helped me with the invocation every week. But whenever he met somebody, it was peace be with you. He always said it with a smile. And when he offered that blessing, you felt good. You could actually feel yourself warming up because you knew he meant from the bottom of his heart that he's wishing and blessing God's best for you. And that's the special part. I would like each and every one of you to get in the habit of saying, "Peace be with you," when you meet somebody. It could bring up some interesting conversations. I will warn you, there are people out there that if you say, "Peace be with you," or "God bless you," they're going to go this way. That's fine. Smile and say, "God," well, you can say it to yourself. Don't start activities, but you plant that seed. You don't engage, say a little prayer for them and move on. Share your love with God, of God, with everyone you meet. That is the biggest blessing that we can give to one another, and it's the biggest blessing that we can receive from God, because he will be with us every time we open our mouths. And by the way, the proper response to "peace be with you" is, "and also with you." Amen.